Okay, it's 2 minutes after six. On April 27th, I'd like to call a Historic Preservation Committee meeting to order. First order of business is the roll call. Fowler?
Here.
Metzler?
Here.
Fredericks?
Here.
Horn?
Here.
Mooney?
Here.
And Rock, I'm here. We have one new member and another member who's been listed as a committee member but has been unable to attend the first couple meetings. So I thought maybe I'd ask each of you to just a brief introduction, you know, nothing fancy. 30-second speech.
I'm Dina Mooney. I've been a resident of the Valley for about the last 8 years. Normally, I am where Trevor is sitting. I have been staffed to historic preservation commissions in the past in two different communities and have worked extensively with historic preservation through my career. I'm currently the county planner for Calumet County, but in other jobs and other communities I've worked at, I've served in that role as staff to these commissions. So, thank you.
Thanks. Welcome. John.
Good evening. I'm John Horn. I've actually lived in Halloway for about 5 years now. And, you know, you can tell from my accent, not originally, from USA, originally born and raised in the UK. I'm employed with the Aaron's Company. I'm Senior Vice President of International Sales and Marketing for the company. So that's one of the reasons that I have missed the last couple of meetings is because of travel. But, I just have a very strong interest in historic preservation and history, and I'm looking forward to making a contribution to the committee.
Thanks. Welcome.
Thank you.
I've been here about 5 years myself, but I didn't come from I came from Indiana.
Afar.
I came from Indiana. That's kind of boring. At least it's in the news a lot lately. Item number two is to modify or adapt our agenda. Are there any questions, comments, changes to the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as submitted.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three, approved minutes from March 30th, 2016 meeting. Any observations relating to these minutes? Seems like a long time ago.
I move to have the minutes from March 30th, 2016. Meeting approved.
We have a motion.
I will second it.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, announcements. Trevor, do you have any announcements?
No. Nothing new at this time. I'm still waiting to hear back from the state for a list of consultants to send our RFP out. I spoke with them this afternoon, and they said probably should be coming in the next few days. So as soon as we can do that, then we can move on to the next step.
Good. Any announcements from committee members?
Aye.
Yep.
As you guys know, well, you guys might not know, but May is National Historic Preservation Month, and May 19th is a very large undertaking in the county from a number of historic preservation groups, and they will be having different events around the city, and I apologize, I forgot the brochure, but Brown County Historical Society is part of the event. Neville Public Museum is part of the event. Brown County Trust for Historic Preservation has their annual meeting that evening at the museum. And there's a number of other places. And I can get a brochure to you guys.
What would be the best way to get that to us? Give it to Trevor and have him pass it
over? Sure. I'll scan it in and email it.
Okay. Great. Any other announcements from the committee or from Trevor?
I don't know if you want to give a summary of the conference this past weekend or.
Sure.
The
Wisconsin Association of Historic Preservation Commissions State Conference was at Heritage Hill this past weekend, Friday and Saturday, and they had a number of speakers. The main speaker's name is escaping me. The Saturday morning
Bill
speaker?
Schmickle?
Bill Schmickle. He's an author. And had a very interesting take on the way we look at historical preservation and being more of a, he calls it a districtist versus historic preservation singularly, more as a political look at historic preservation and all the politics involved. You want to add to it at all?
It was just pretty interesting because he kind of talked about the reality of the situation, whether you want to admit it or not, there's politics involved with what we do. And so for the sake of historic preservation, it might make more sense to possibly pass up on an opportunity so that more buildings would be saved if they kind of get what I'm saying.
Go for the greater good.
Right.
That's why he looks at securing districts versus if you have to sacrifice one individual property to save a district, to look at the bigger picture.
It's an interesting take.
Yeah.
And then they also spoke with the tax credits for the Hotel Northland. Projects that some businesses in Depere were able to take advantage of.
I missed those. I wasn't in attendance of those.
Anything else? Thanks. We'll look forward to seeing from Trevor what you send off when you send on the information on the 19th. Anything else? Hearing none, we'll go on to item number 5, public appearances.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I belong to a great many historical organizations locally. On the 19th, Historic Galloway is going to be partaking in the history tour event, and we'll be having a number of down at the Mariner Hotel along the trail, so we'll be having we'll be part of that too. The reason I'm here tonight is the Red Brick Chapel at Alloway Cemetery is one of our oldest religious structures in Alloway, as well as the oldest brick religious structure in Brown County, and possibly in the general region of Northeast Wisconsin. It was built in 1876 as a burial vault for our first bishop. It was over-designed as a burial vault, and they put a chapel in it also. That chapel is in actually very good shape if you consider that it's 140 years old. It's on a stone foundation with bricks, but the bricks are falling off. The chimney is coming apart. The diocese is concerned about safety, and for the last 5 years or so, we've been looking at it and tried to come up with a plan on what it would take to restore it, and those numbers are just not feasible for the diocese to handle. I mean, you're talking anywhere from $100,000 to $170,000 to completely restore the building. The diocese has asked several of the groups that I belong to evaluate it and come up with a plan by June 1st, because they're going to be taking down the stucco building in the cemetery. And if nothing can be done to save this particular building, they'd like to take it down at the same time. So we're working on a couple different proposals, and we're looking for ideas and funding opportunities to preserve it. While the diocese does like the old building, it's not part of their mission to be saving old buildings. They save souls. So if you can take a look at it, get back in touch with me. I'll give Trevor my contact information. And so, if we as a community can find a way to save it, or at least save the exterior of it without redoing the inside, doesn't have any plumbing or heating or electricity anyway, but if we can just save the outside, and maybe 10 or 20 years from now, somebody else would take on the next step and restore it as a chapel of some kind. But we're looking to, the most feasible thing is to simply mothball it, do the tuck pointing, get it stabilized, and make sure it's safe. Thank you.
Jim, your estimate, was that just to do what you're suggesting, or is that...
No, it was a complete, the 170 that we're working on now is a complete restoration.
Okay.
We've been on the inside, and it would look very nice, but I think that's not feasible at all. But I think if we can find a way to at least do...
What are the numbers if you're just trying to save it?
Well, that's what we haven't looked at, just trying to save the outside.
Yeah.
That's the next step, because the full restoration numbers are going to come in way too high, and that's not going to be feasible. So now we're going to take it to the next step and evaluate what it is to just save the outside without having anybody going on the inside. I'd like to have people be able to go on, to use it what it was designed for, right, to house people and let people in. But that's, you have security issues and that type of thing. So.
Is it locked right now?
Yeah.
To the general?
Yeah. And it doesn't have, there were steps on it a long time ago, but the steps have long time ago been removed. The windows have been boarded up. It had stained glass windows, and the windows had gotten broken. So, if you look at it from the inside, you can see the remnants of the stained glass, but in order to restore it, you'd have to redo the windows and redo everything. But if we can just redo the, make sure the foundation doesn't move. It has a little bit of movement in it, just about a quarter inch crack in the brick, which isn't bad for 140 years old. So that's pretty good. But the biggest concern was when the chimney started coming down, they were concerned about safety. So they said, well, maybe that's the time. So if we don't do anything to at least preserve it, preserve the outside of it, the diocese will need to take it down. And they'd like to do something in June.
What group are you representing when you say we?
I'm with Historic Galloway Society and Brown County Historical Society. Correct.
Okay. And can you tell us who at the diocese was willing to accept ideas?
Yes. Mary at the is running this cemetery, so she's the lead person for the diocese. So she's the one who is in charge of gathering the proposals.
There was talk about a year ago about doing a fundraiser for that. Has anything developed on that?
No. We need a we need a plan in order to figure out what's actually going to be done with it. Whether it's, with the internet now you can do crowdsourcing and all sorts of other things, but you need to have a plan, whether you're just going to mothball it and have it just as the outside structure, or if you're going to do a full restoration and let people in. Now, they were concerned about how do you stamp it when you let people in and that type of thing. So Like I said, they'd like to keep the expenses down to a minimum. They don't want to tear it down, but if it can't be saved now, they said it's kind of time to go.
So Jim, you're on a path now to come up with like alternate plans,
correct?
Less costly plans to just do the facade or the outside, or to make it safe and more attractive from the outside, and you're on a schedule to have that done by the deadline.
Correct. We'd like to have our rough draft done by May 15th with our final draft done by June 1st so they can decide at that point.
I have conflicting information from Brown County Historical Society, so I'm wondering...
What is it?
That they asked for support in tearing it down and that they were not interested in ideas for it. They don't want it open to the public. The diocese.
Yeah, the diocese doesn't, and that's what I just said, is for staffing reasons. They don't want to do any programming or anything in there. So that's why the mothballing is the better answer.
They don't want to support it at all, though, is from what I understand.
Yeah,
so, it's
their
property.
Who are you representing when you're saying
I'm
that?
Just saying I have conflicting information.
And you got that from Brown County Trust?
No,
is that where
from
you
Brown
got
County
from?
Historical Society. Who you said you were representing.
When I'm here and on this particular project, I've been asked by Brown County Historical Society to take the lead on this particular project. So I'm just a volunteer, so I don't represent Brown County Historical Society in anything else except for this particular project and gathering the information and getting it to Mary.
So, Jim, if we have ideas or suggestions or comments other than what we've pretty much concluded now, should we get those to you through Trevor?
Would that be the best?
Trevor,
do you know how to reach me?
Yeah, I think so.
That way, all the information goes to one place, and,
right.
And we all and everybody knows what everybody else is. You know, it's
right.
Not one on one. It's
well, you know,
the clearinghouse.
This is a small structure, and it's
yeah.
You know, to do a small structure to be $150,000. Diocese had a very divisive tear down of the Chancery Building, which was the old Bishop Fox's house. And that would have been a lot more money. So they don't want to go through that again. So they want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to weigh in and come up with solutions. But, you know, their general feeling is that it's going to be too expensive. That's their general feeling. Okay.
Do you think there would be a possibility of getting that thing moved to Heritage Hill?
They had Heritage Hill go over and take a look at it. They've offered it. In fact, I've been going through the files. They first offered it to Heritage Hill 40 years ago. Heritage Hill was just recently over there. And because of the cost of picking it up and moving it and getting around trees and that type of thing, they felt that it wasn't feasible to do it. So Heritage Hill decided not to take the building. The offer to dare to chill. Yeah, it's a beautiful structure. Kind of what, because I've been doing the research on it, what makes it interesting is that the first bishop who came here after we had the Peshtigo fire and the Chicago fire decided that it was a good idea to start building churches out of brick because all the churches burned. So that is the start of brick churches in northeast Wisconsin. It first got started. Excuse me, I'm sorry. St. John's was the first one to have brick on it. And then that one eventually, I think, burned down. Oh, when they were building it, their primary church burned down, so they had to finish it off. But that was right after the Peshtigo fire in early 1870s. And then this particular one was built by Bishop Krautbauer who came from Germany, and he built the chapel based upon similar architecture to what he had seen back in Germany, and then he went on to build the cathedral, which is still standing today. So this was like a miniature version of what he eventually built, and that, you know, that got started just a year after this was done. So it's a very interesting and architecturally important building, I think. And it's at least important on a regional basis, if not on a national basis.
So, Jim, you could report back to us in our May meeting, because we'll have one, you know, before.
And if anybody has any ideas, and, you know, we're looking to keep, you know, costs down and fundraising up. So, thank you.
Great, thank you. Item number 6, discussion of selection process for consultant for National Register nomination project. Trevor,
sure.
Are you, you want to start us off?
Yeah. So I guess just to start off, the last certified local government grant we received was for the two municipal owned buildings, the Wood Water Department building and community center, and the pump house on Green Avenue. And the selection process the committee opted to use for that was to have a subcommittee of committee members go through the RFPs or the proposals received and then recommend that to the Historic Preservation Committee itself. And then from there, I went to the board and it was approved. But you could do it any number of ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be a subcommittee, it could be an ad hoc committee, or it could be staff or the full committee, however you guys want to do it. But the RFPs should be going out and should be received prior to our next meeting, so we should probably think of a way that we want to go forward with selecting a consultant once we receive the proposals.
One way you mentioned was that staff would do it.
Sure.
And another way would be, as we did the first time around, we had like a small committee. Or we could do it as a full commission and just simply, you know, it would be private, because we'd be in a closed session. Was that correct? Since we'd be discussing things relating to finances and purchasing.
Correct. That's how it was.
Yeah. Right. So we would hold a meeting, and as part of the meeting would be a closed session where we discuss that, and then if there are other meeting agenda items, we open the meeting up again.
Correct.
I'm just kind of, for my own bit, I mean, you all probably know, been thinking of all these things. I was just kind of trying to get the different options out there so we can, because you're looking for, or you're asking us to choose.
Correct. I think the RFP that I provided last time had a deadline to submit the proposals by May 13th. I think we're pushing that back to May 20th just because now we're delayed in getting the proposal for the RFP sent out. So I think in the RFP it mentions a 2 to 3 week time period or time frame for us to select a consultant, or at least narrow it down to one or two.
What do we think? Any suggestions? Yes.
When you have the consultants, when they submit their RFP, do you narrow it down and then invite people for interviews and to give a more detailed presentation of what their proposal is, and then go from there to see who you would feel most comfortable with based on those?
It was mentioned in the RFP that could be a possibility, but it wasn't schedule. That's how we worded it. So I think we narrow it down. If there's a close one or two place finishers, then we would probably opt for the interview. Other than that, I don't know if one is scheduled. They're spelled out in the RFP.
Any other comments? Or?
I don't think an interviewing and deciding can happen on the same night, just to get everybody's schedule. That's why we had opted for the subcommittee in the previous years. And then we brought a recommendation to the full board.
Is that the best, in your opinion, is that the best option?
I don't know that's the best. It's just what we've done.
It's the one that we used last time.
Twice now.
So when you did your subcommittees, did you invite the consultants in for interviews?
Okay. Mm-hmm. One couldn't make it, so we had a telephone
interview. Telephone conference with one, yeah.
The reason why I keep bringing up the interview is because sometimes it's just different what you see in paper versus what you get in front of you and
definitely
who you kind of feel mm-hmm. knows your community mm-hmm. best. So I guess I was a little leery about just looking at the RFPs solely and basing the decision off of that. So that subcommittee idea.
Asking specific questions face-to-face, I think, mm-hmm. is always good. Mm-hmm. Even if they, I don't know, from my experience in the business world, interviewing people to, you know, to install a new computer system, for example, you know, when you get responses like, well, we could put a couple of people on that and probably come up with a way, you know, it's not a real positive kind of response to the question, can you do this specific accounting task? Mm-hmm. You know, well, we don't normally, but I'm sure we can figure it out. And you get that kind of interaction when you have somebody face-to-face.
Yeah, I think it's rare that you would sign a contract with someone
yeah.
without meeting them face-to-face and questioning their proposal, etc. So,
I make a motion for a subcommittee. How about that?
We have a motion.
I'll second that motion.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? The only discussion point that I would have would be, do we need to form the subcommittee tonight, or should we?
I was just going to suggest that.
So that doesn't need to be part of our motion, though, does it? Or should we?
I think it would have hurt if it was part.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second, and we're going to. What are we going to do? Suspend it or table it or withdraw it until we can add to the motion? But just let us stand.
You can have a friendly motion.
Yeah, you can just.
Probably want to.
You can.
Friendly amendment.
To amend the motion?
Yeah, to amend the motion.
I amend the motion to the volunteers of Bobby. Anyone else?
Are either of you able to?
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay.
Dina? Do we want a third? There's two enough.
I'll do it.
Howard?
I'll do it. Maybe I learned something from last time. Maybe I can actually. I think I was new then.
I amend the motion to have a subcommittee of Bobby, Dina, and Howard review the RFP responses.
That's great.
And I can second.
And we have a second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 7, discussion of the May 10th open house for National Register eligible homes and local designations.
Howard, you had mentioned at the last meeting that you weren't able to attend.
Yeah, that's of all the meetings all year long that I can't attend. This is the one that I can't
It's not a required meeting, but Dinah Pantunis from Wisconsin Historical Society will be there. I invited our president, Jim Rafter, and then I was hoping someone from the committee then would also be able to, just for a quick photo op, if anything else, or if nothing else.
Will we have an actual meeting in terms of calling to order in minutes, or will it just won't be an official
correct
meeting? Because we will have one later in the month, a couple correct of weeks later, three. So I see here on your notes on the last item number 7 that we should discuss the logistics of the event. In other words, who will be able to attend and give tours or speak on behalf of the committee. The last time we did this, I must have been the chair because I spoke and I didn't say much. I don't think I referenced the intent survey report and the results from it and the reason why we had invited people to come to the meeting, you know, to help them understand what has happened so far. And now we have a little more history to add to that because we have the official designation of two structures from that first round. So other than that, I don't know that I think anybody who can attend and would like to, or Trevor could do it. But it'd be nice if it came from one of us, I think.
I'll be attending, so I don't know who else is attending. If you need me to say something, I can. If somebody else wants to, that's good, too.
I think just a brief introduction, Terry. I think all I tried to do is just help people understand why they'd been invited, you know, and, you know, what are we going to do here tonight? And that's basically to inform people of the progress, the progress that we've made so far and the basis under which we've been operating going forward from when we had the intensive survey, you know, what it means and you know, how we've used it so far, and to introduce Dinah Pantunis, who has a good presentation and will answer. She has a list of standard questions that people ask, and she'll have, it's interactive, so she'll be taking questions. And I think your husband was at the last one, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then we kept trying to talk him into coming and joining the committee, but he sent you. So, thank you.
Yeah. John and Dina, I'm not sure if I filled you in as far as what the event is. Are you aware of the event? Okay.
No, I remember coming here about a year ago and listening to a presentation and talking about Miramar Drive. And so is it something similar to that?
We, our town hall building on Webster Avenue was formerly the water building for the village, and it was successfully listed to the National Register, and this will be a dedication ceremony, open house, and then the end of the meeting will be Dinah Pantunis from the state Wisconsin Historical Society coming to talk about the importance of districts, the historical districts, and the advantages of being part of a district, because we have 3 potential districts, Miramar, that we're working on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have 2 other potential ones.
Sunset Circle,
Robinson Hill.
Pardon?
Robinson Hill.
And Robinson Hill. And we had, in the intensive survey, we had 13 individual structures, 2 of which will be recognized. And the other one was the water company building on Green Avenue, which will be recognized formally on the 10th. And 2 others will be part of the RFP. that we're going out for bids on now for the next round because we want it. And there are two private homes that will be there, as well as Miramar District. When we had a meeting, we had more attendees from the Miramar District and more voiced interest and curiosity about the process going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two of the individual homes come forward and say, yeah, we'd like to be part of the next round of requests also. So there's still 9 homes that were officially listed in the intensive survey that we could have contact with, and I assume those would be people that would be invited to our meeting. Is that correct? Or have we decided?
That's correct.
Yeah, plus the residents of the other two districts.
Mm-hmm. So, John, like Howard said, we had a lot more people come from the Miramar district, so then that's what led us to invite you to that next meeting.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So the dual purpose, or the second purpose of the meeting will be to kind of gauge which district, if any, either Robinson Hill or the Sunset has more interest, and then from there we'll have to schedule another district kickoff meeting in the early part of June, actually, in order to apply them for the grant in the fall.
Trevor, were you planning on inviting anyone else other than who we've just already talked about, or anybody on the committee? Think of anyone else who could be invited or should be?
The society. LA Historic Society.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah.
I'll send out an invite to them.
Any other questions or comments or input from committee members on what's going to happen on May 10th? And the information will be mailed out. A little card to stick on the bulletin board will be mailed out soon.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the new artwork?
Okay.
It was this afternoon, yeah.
Okay.
It was a big file. That was why I was wondering if it came through.
Okay.
If you don't have it, let me know.
Alright.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And first time the stamp said proposed, and now the stamp says National Register of Historic Places accepted, and that's the village property here that we will have at the holder meeting. So, Trevor, do we need to do anything else, or can anybody on the committee think of anything else that needs to be done to move forward, stay on schedule?
No, as long as Bobby's there.
As long as Bobby's there?
It doesn't have to be me. If somebody else wants it, go for it. I just know I'm attending. Yeah. It's on my calendar.
Well, it just has to be somebody. And you said,
I can
it's
be
possible.
Somebody.
My wife's having surgery the day before, so it's possible I could do it, but I wouldn't want to commit.
Oh, yeah,
cause
definitely.
Then I'd be calling.
If you can make it, feel free to take over.
Or just to be there to be part of the process. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I can't make it, but, you know. Can't make it. Are we okay then, Trevor? Have you have what you need from us?
I think we're good then.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Item number 8. Next meeting date and agenda items. I think I have May 27th on my calendar, which I don't have with me.
Was it the Friday? May 25th,
then? How about May
25th? Howard, if I can just ask the committee, going through our deadlines for the next grant, if we get a great response from this open house, we will have to have a district kickoff meeting in the early part of June.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the committee is open to having the meeting on June 15th day instead of June 22nd, I believe.
I'm sure it's okay with me, just being one person. I don't have any, no more vacations.
June 15th, you're thinking?
Correct.
I'm available. Yeah,
that's fine with me.
You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You okay, Steve?
I'll send out a reminder, but...
Okay.
So May 25th and June 15th.
May 25th and June 15th.
Okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, because we'll have a lot, we'll have things to do.
Right.
With all the RFPs.
Right, select
yeah.
Consultant.
Yeah. Yep. And our subcommittee can meet when you say it's time, when you have proposals, and you can communicate with us, and we'll pick a time that works for us.
Sure.
I'm more available than maybe you folks, because I'm not working, so I can do it during the day.
Rub it in.
No, one of these days, I'm going to go back to work. I keep threatening. Anything else? Then I guess we're ready for item number 9, adjournment. So I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
And I'll second the motion.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carries. We're adjourned.